Let's break story down to its rawest structural components. Let's take a tale that we all know and love, a superficially simple yarn that stood the test of time. The cat sat on the mat. At first glance, it seems to have everything. An interesting central character, a compellingly relatable central action sequence, and a great location. But with a little grunt work, we can make this story even better. Let's break it down. Straight out of the gate, we meet our hero, a cat. Who is this cat? We don't know. What does he or she want? A seat. He or she so desperately wants to sit. What's the resolution? The cat achieves his/her goal with the help of a mat. The end. There's no buildup, no context, and no backstory. And when he or she reaches his/her goal, we, as an audience, are denied the emotional catharsis we crave. We don't even know this cat's name. What are the stakes? Where is the drama? Why should we care? There are cats sat on mats up and down the country at any given moment. What makes this particular cat so special? What makes the story of this cat on this mat a story that we need to tell? How could we improve this? We need to tackle the character of the cat. Let's make the cat a male. Straight away, I'm starting to relate. Let's call him Brad. Brad Pitt. What kind of cat is Brad? Maybe he's a cat from the wrong side of the tracks. A dreamer, but with street smarts. Good-looking son of a bitch, too. When he was a kitten, his parents never believed he'd amount to anything. His talents only part retracted. He was slow to bury his feces and he hated string. You're going to end up an alley cat like your uncle, Tot, they'd meow as they nosed around one another's anal canals. Then one day, while stripping flesh from a rodent, Brat looks up. It's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. Rolled up under the arm of a super hot Cameron Diaz type is a ruby red mat. He knows one thing for sure. He must sit on that mat. So much for the setup. Now for the complication. The super hot Cameron Diaz type lives uptown in a fancy townhouse and only wears really tight clothing. She gets the doorman to set out the new mat. It looks beautiful. Brad's never seen a mat that even comes close. He struts up to it, tail a mile in the air. But right as he's about to park his ass for the afternoon, guess who sets up camp? Cameron tracks towards a tough-looking rough mutt called Rico. He's non-American, big scar down his face, one eye's kind of milky, barks with a thick accent. We immediately know this piece of shit's bad news, but for some reason, the doorman loves him. Maybe they do coke together. We can sketch in the details later. Upshot? Ain't no way Brad's getting on that mat anytime soon. So Brad goes on a stakeout, trying to see if Rico operates any kind of mat schedule. He's joined by a wisecracking city fox, Franklin, Kevin Hart, who keeps undermining him. I'm telling you, man, that canine's a 24-7 deal. What's that tatty-ass rug there anyway? You're no good broke ass too good for the flow? The unlikely duo attempt to lure Rico off the mat using various methods. A sexy poodle, a juicy steak on a wire, etc. But he ain't going no place no how. Somehow he always sees them coming. Cut to Cameron Diaz type in the shower. This has no real plot function, but why not shoot it just in case? In despair, Brad the cat hits a local bar. Gets lit on milk punch, wakes up in a dumpster. Staggers out, fur smeared with prawn tails. A group of mice beat him up for what he did to their uncle. He coughs up some cream. He's at rock bottom. Even the moonlight hurts his eyes, so he picks some old shades out of the trash. He catches his reflection in a dirty puddle. What's different? That's it. Rico always saw him coming because cats' eyeballs have a special reflective layer called the tapetum lucidum. Of course. He and Franklin both get sunglasses and decide to make their move. Only problem? Now they can't see where they're going. Cue a series of comic pratfalls that leads them straight to the city pound. There they meet a wise old tortoise, Speeding McNulty, Morgan Freeman, who's serving time for tax evasion. With the help of a beautiful, feisty tabby cat, Miss Kitty, Jennifer Lawrence, the three of them break out, but McNulty loses his shell. There's a moving scene where McNulty explains that although, yes, he does look funny now, the shell formed part of his spine, so now he's going to die. Mama said I never had much backbone. I guess she was right. Brad tells him that's bullshit, that McNulty has more backbone than anyone he's ever met. It just turns out that McNulty's backbone is detachable. But ain't no shame in that. That's just how nature designed it. Just like she designed it so that dogs always win and cats always lose. McNulty tells Brad to never give up, and above all, be patient. He'll sit on that mat. He tells Franklin to go back to school. He has the makings of a fine lawyer. He tells Miss Kitty to stop her relentless killing spree. It's unfeminine. Cut to the Cameron Diaz type back in the shower. You might need it in the edit. Brad, Franklin, and Miss Kitty tried to crush McNulty's shell flat so that it'll fit in a shallow grave, but it won't break. Which leads to our resolution. The camera closes in on a tortoise shell scuttling fast. We see Brad inside. I think we got a pretty good idea where he's going. As Brad finally sits on the mat, Rico wakes up from his snooze. What the hell is this shell doing on his mat? Then Miss Kitty descends on Rico in a murderous flurry that finally sates her lifelong bloodlust. Miss Kitty is arrested. Franklin, with his new legal qualifications, wows the judge, who dismisses the charges against Miss Kitty and pins the killing on a transient Hispanic hamster. Brad and Miss Kitty get married. Franklin's the best man. He buys them a brand new red mat for their wedding present. Everyone applauds. Dissolve, the two of them with their wedding gift in front of their new townhouse. They stretch out on the mat together. Tonight, they'll fuck on that mat. Slam cut to credits.